Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org.
News from NPR is made possible by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. WILL programs are made possible in part by Bevier Cafe, offering breakfast from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. and lunches from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, and catering. Bevier Cafe is student-operated on the second floor of Bevier Hall, corner of Gregory and Goodwin, Urbana.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon, this first Friday in the month of September. They join us on the first Friday of the month, once a month, to talk about dogs. Jim and Carol are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to answer your questions about dogs, dog care, behavior, training. Join us with your questions and comments with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, that number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Well, welcome back. How are
Cotter?
You?
It's cold today. It's cold, and it's cold, and it's
green.
Jim laughs.
Come on.
Jim's a man with Malamutes.
Yeah, I think it's
cold. Even so, it's
okay, it's
not
chilly.
Exactly cold.
Okay. It's chilly. I had the heat on in the car on the way over here.
Wow.
I don't like to be cold.
Yeah. Sugar plum. So how's the
Everybody's
doodle and
fine.
The golden?
They're doing fine.
Good. And the males?
Well, they enjoy the cooler weather, of course. But and you'd think through their coats they couldn't feel it, but they don't like the rain.
So it's,
go outside. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sweet I might melt. Now get out. So they're of two minds, but I think they're starting to enjoy the cooler, drier, the cold, the frigid Arctic weather that we've been having.
I did have my heat on. I was cold. Yeah.
So everything's fine out our way.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Well, with the club, anything that you'd like to talk with us about this afternoon? Where are you in terms of classes and events?
Oh, classes start next week. So looking forward to that. The full schedule starts a week from Monday, right? Yeah.
The 15th?
Yeah. Orientation for Home Companion is next week.
Or disorientation, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
But this weekend, Carol and I were discussing
Carol.
We don't know the exact details, but the APDP,
Association of Pet Dog Trainers,
has rented our building and are putting on a rally obedience event this weekend. And I think it starts at 9 o'clock.
It'd be fun to stop in there
if
you're out and about and want to duck out of the cold and into a nice warm building.
Rally obedience is a little like regular old obedience. You don't have a judge calling you through and saying left turn, right turn. It's kind of taken after the idea of the old rally, sports car rally events where you go to a certain spot in your car and then you'd get further instructions and go someplace else. Here there are signs on the floor that say right turn or slow or tell your dog to stay, things like that. And
it's
there are about 15 or 16 of them. And,
very popular.
You are judged, but the judge isn't actually doing the calling. And there are various things that dogs have to do. So, yes, it is very popular. And as a board member, money-making. So we like it.
That's good. Well, we've got a listener ready to join us this afternoon in Urbana on line one. So let's go there now. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, We have a dog that's about a year old. We got him from the shelter. We think he's maybe lab, Australian Shepherd, or Border Collie, and maybe some Chow with the purple spots on his tongue. And he's generally been pretty good about being more civilized and made a lot of progress, except for people coming into the yard. It's real difficult. He just seems to react instantly, and he's chased the mailman and bit the paper boy. And that's the thing that we really haven't made much progress on. So I was wondering if you had any ideas for a approach there.
Does the dog spend his days outside?
Part of the day, but, you know, just in and out.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how he had access to these people.
Well,
do you have a gated front lawn or something?
Back, and he did climb over the gate.
Oh.
And so I built new gates, which he can't get out of. But I think the times when he has bit people is when we were trying to kind of introduce him to people and get him used to having people in the yard, and it didn't work out.
How old was he when you adopted him?
He was about 5 months.
And was he like this from the time you got him?
Pardon?
Was he like this from the time you got him?
Yeah, pretty much, I would say.
I think,
well, classic deconditioning.
Yeah, I think you need some really good help here, because if he's bitten more than once, that's a dangerous thing for a dog that's young to bite more than one time, and I think that you need to call in some professional help.
Well, we have worked with a trainer, and we've taken him through a couple of classes, which he did fine with. He goes to daycare and gets along fine with the people and dogs. He gets along okay with everybody when he's away from home. But
so, Jim, sounds like a territorial thing.
Sure. What you can try, I am disheartened when you said you were trying to introduce him to people. But from wherever he is, whether he's inside, when he's inside the house and people come into the yard, what does he do?
Barks.
Does he run to the door or run to the window?
Uh-huh.
He looks at the people and barks?
Yeah.
Do his hackles go up? Does he show his teeth? Because there's a bunch of barking.
He shows his teeth if there's somebody like on the front porch or the mailman delivering mail.
Well, what we're talking about is to condition him or decondition him. We don't know why he's doing this. He is exhibiting territorial behavior in a couple ways. One, he's setting up an alarm when strangers come. And secondly, he's biting them. It doesn't sound like he bit them too hard.
No, he just bruised one person and just barely.
Yeah, but that makes me uncomfortable.
Well, what I mean, it
makes us real nervous. Yeah,
it wasn't a sustained attack.
No.
I would continue to work with the classes and get him out as much as possible. But you were wise to try to introduce him to people, but I would have suggested that. But if he's going to start biting when they get close, then what you want to do is two things. One, when he's in the house, we just do some conditioning. That is, have people in on it, you know, people helping you train, walk into the yard or walk up to the door. As they do that, you are ready. You might have a long line on him in the house, leash or collar, so you can pull him away from the door. But you want to let him know that you have just the best food in the world, you know, maybe a piece of liver or something. And when the person comes to the door, he's going to run to the door. He's going to start to bark. You're going to show him the liver and lead him to a neutral corner. Could be the kitchen, you know, but someplace far away from the front door, and give him the food. And praise, pet, food, and then do it all over again. And you might do that 10 times in an hour. And, well, let's say 10 times in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't want to spend too much time per day, but you do want to do this several days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're trying to do is condition him that when strangers come in, he runs to the kitchen and gets food.
Mm-hmm.
So at least he's not at the front door, mm-hmm. you know, barking.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do kind of the same thing outside as well. Have the friendly, the known stranger come toward the dog. But here you do definitely have him on a line.
Mm-hmm.
And but I would do the in-house things first so that he understands what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger comes up. You call the, you know, Fido over to you and you give him the spectacular goodie and a lot of praise.
Mm-hmm.
He might react also to toys, mm-hmm. you know, anything that's a reward for him.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing here is we're not making him non-aggressive. He's still going to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to take the signal that starts all the aggression and turn it into a signal for something else.
Yes.
That is, I wouldn't leave him alone, you know, with strangers or anything like that.
No.
But at least around the house, stranger comes in, he's going to run to you or he's going to run to the porch
mm-hmm.
in order to get his treat because
mm-hmm.
that's what you've taught him to do.
Mm.
Once again, he still would have these, you know, deep resentments of other people, but at least
yep.
he won't, this way he won't act on them.
Yes, uh-huh.
But I would continue also with whatever classes you were
mm-hmm.
taking.
Is a muzzle useful
no.
at all?
Well,
it's not going to change the behavior.
No.
It's a tough thing because you don't know when people are going to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd have to leave the muzzle on him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our new son-in-law spent the weekend with us last weekend, and he really had a very slow time getting used to him after, like, day three. They were pretty good friends, but we really couldn't be sure how he's going to act the first couple of days.
You know, you said you had somebody come in and work with you in your home?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. We've had some consultations away from the house.
Yeah, if I had a dog that age that was exhibiting behavior, I would certainly do what Jim suggested because that's
mm-hmm.
all very good advice.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you can contact the ASPCA
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
here, and they're located in Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
They have behaviorists on staff.
Mm-hmm.
They can work with you.
Yeah.
If you want to contact us off the air, we have some other people that we could recommend to you.
Okay.
But this is a situation that you need to deal with and deal with it pretty swiftly.
Yeah.
And do the right things because doing the wrong things would make it even worse.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What you don't want to do, I thank you for reminding, what you don't want to do is yell at the dog, you know, jerk him around when he's doing this.
Yeah.
And the reason is that when you have this kind of aggression, corrections only make them matter.
Uh-huh.
In other words, as much as we like to think that dogs are as smart as...
Or feel more threatened, too.
Yeah, but you know, I've often said if a dog runs to the door and barks, he's setting up an alarm that somebody's at the door.
Yes.
If you start yelling at him, two things might occur to the dog. One, you're doing the same thing. He doesn't understand what you're saying,
uh-huh.
but he hears the tone of your voice and the
yeah.
anger,
yeah.
and you're making exactly the same noises he is.
Yeah.
He's going, arf, 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 and you're going, quiet, quiet, quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is the dog thinks you're an idiot because you don't recognize the danger.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's wrong with you? There's a stranger at the door.
Yeah.
And you're telling him to shut up. So
yeah.
Either way, it doesn't help.
Yes.
So... And that's why you use the friendly somebody who's in on it
mm-hmm.
And not real strangers because you're going to be, you know, the dog's going to go threaten the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pull him away,
mm-hmm.
give him the food, give him the praise.
Mm-hmm.
And the ordinary person would say, you're praising your dog for attacking me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Your reply would be, no, I'm praising him for coming toward me and,
mm-hmm.
and not attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't see that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I enjoy your program and your humor a lot.
Well, would you call us and let us know how things work out for you?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
It's an ongoing process, so
yeah, oh, yeah.
we're all working on it.
And thank you for calling it the shelter and not the pound.
Right, okay. Thanks a lot.
That's my pet peeve.
Okay, take care. Let's take another call now for dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. Another caller from Urbana, line two. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to ask probably a stupid question, but where exactly is your club located?
Okay,
not a stupid question.
I looked on the web and I saw the address, but I need, you know, more than that.
Okay. I will tell you because Jim's going to use the fun name that we like for our street, which will confuse you.
Okay. Harrison Ford Road.
Okay.
See, it is cute. But
thank you.
You take, if you're coming, if you're going to take 70.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You can take 74 East or 74 West and you exit at Cunningham, Rantoul, I can't remember the exit number.
Route 45.
Route 45.
Right, uh-huh.
You're going to go north on 45. So if you're coming,
like
if you're going east, then you, you go left because I don't do north
miles.
And south. Yep, it's about 2.5 miles north of that intersection at 74.
So you're past Farm and Fleet and
past all that.
O'Brien's, all that.
Correct. Past the airport.
That dirty bookstore up there.
I call it the adult entertainment
center. Adult entertainment center.
Yes. They're on the right.
And you call it the shelter. I see.
It's all semantics. And Ford Harris Road, now we have a little, you know how, I consider that the country.
Uh-huh.
But those yellow signs with a little crossroad indicator.
Uh-huh.
There's one for Ford Harris Road that gives you time to slow down and turn right, and then you can't miss it.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
It's huge.
I was looking left, but you turn right.
You know, a lot of people go left, and you turn right, which would be south. No, it can't be south. They're going north.
That would be east.
You're going east. That's correct.
So you go east on Ford Harris Road.
Yeah, it's kind of the first right turn after you go around the bend.
Okay.
And I've been going around the bend for a long time.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah,
it's real easy to find.
Quite
and
obvious.
Yes,
yeah.
You can probably Google it to get the Google map.
I think there's a map on our site.
Yeah.
There's a map on our site.
I believe so.
I just wanted an excuse to call in.
Oh, okay.
I do have another question.
Okay.
My dog's almost 4 in October. He'll be 4. Is that too late to start agility training or what would you recommend? I know he's bored and he. You know, I don't really, I rub him, love him, talk to him. He's rather spoiled, but I think he needs, stimulation.
The way Robin puts it, she wanted me to train Penny. She said, Penny needs a job.
Yeah.
I went, okay. So I started training her. No.
And I'll throw the ball. He'll go get it from down the hall 3 or 4 times, and then he's done.
Dogs love going to class. They really do.
You know, and
when we got him as a puppy, he did go to, the basic obedience. And after that, after he learned to sit and stay and all that, then we haven't brought him back, for anything else.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, it's so funny because some people will go through the basic class and that's it. Other people get hooked and their dog gets hooked and they go, well, there's so many things to do.
I started Kurt when he was 3. Not quite 4, I suppose. And I have to say, Kurt doesn't like obedience all that much, but he loves me. And he loves being in class with me. He just has the greatest time. But I tell him to sit, and he just kind of looks back at me and goes, sit. I know that. But he just has a great time. I wouldn't say it's a great obedience time.
Right.
No, and if you're – come out to the rally event this weekend. Did you hear it?
Is it on Sunday, too?
It is.
Oh, good, because I have a garage sale tomorrow, but Sunday I'm
Yeah, free. Come on out and see.
Okay.
If you go to the webpage, I think it's on there.
It should be on
there.
But there's so many events to do. We've got people that do – you can get your dog involved in therapy work, which might be something that you would both enjoy.
Yeah. Can you kind of look at a dog and see his personality and say, well, we would recommend maybe you do this with him?
Well,
it's your personality that we really look at.
Okay. Oh, boy.
The dog we test.
I might need all the classes to do that.
But if you want to do agility, is that what you're thinking?
I'm thinking agility.
Yeah.
Somebody told me there's a new, I don't know if you have it, like a sniffing class for dogs, like to be able to, I'm not sure what they, tracking or sniffing or so.
Tracking. I thought you said snipping and I didn't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, sniffing.
Yeah, it would be tracking.
Carol does all the snipping around here.
Yeah, it would be a tracking class. But it wouldn't hurt a bit to get, since you went to the classes as a puppy.
We do have tracking classes.
Yeah, sign up for a home companion class.
Yeah.
Go through that. It's a lot
That's
of fun.
Exciting.
It would be fun.
I think you'll have a lot of fun.
And I don't know. I haven't looked to see if they're all full or not yet. I haven't looked. Classes.
So
I don't think so.
Sunday?
Okay. No, you can't bring your dogs.
Bring yourself.
Yeah, only dogs that are entered. And you have to pre-enter. Can come in.
I'm glad I asked because I would have brought them. And...
Well, no one would shoot you or anything. It would just be you'd have a dog that'd be a distraction, and somebody would probably come up to you and say, excuse me.
Yeah.
Because if it was me, I'd go, get your dog out of here. But most people are more polite.
No, just come and you'll have a good time. Yeah. It's all a nice group of people.
It is.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Well, they're the
so
APDP
much.
People. Yeah, and I hope to see you out there.
Too. Your program's great.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. And next we go to a listener on a cell phone on line 4, toll-free line. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, Celeste. Thanks for taking my call. A wonderful show. I joined it kind of late. Just was curious. Can your guest answer related health questions for dogs, or is it strictly training?
Well,
it depends
give
on what it
a
is.
Shot.
Okay. I'm sorry. What was that?
You have to give your dog a shot.
No.
Well, we'll
give it a shot.
That might be the answer. I don't know.
All right. That's fine. Thank you. Here's the deal. I got a chocolate lab, real good dog, about a year and a half old. He got a really persistent yeast infection in the ear, taking him to the doc several times. And he says if you're around water, and of course with labs, they love water. Well, it happens my dog, it doesn't want anything to do with water. And we've got him some ear drops, and now we've got him kind of a spray from the vet. It's based in vinegar. It's got an acid to it. And that seems to be working very well. But he said that if it persists over a year, if it doesn't change with the seasons, then you're looking at a food allergy. And I never heard of that. But
I'm
wondering if that's the case and if you had any other remedies, and I'll go ahead and listen off air. Thanks.
You know, with many breeds, and Goldens are one of them, food allergies will cause these other problems. And yeast infection in the ear is one of them. If his paws are red, that's a sign of a food allergy often. So what you might want to do...
And by that she means the underneath.
The underneath.
Yeah, where it's normally black.
And you probably wouldn't see that on a chocolate lab, but you could try. But at any rate, what you can do, try to look at your food ingredients that you're feeding now. And if you've got grains in there, your dog may not be able to process those grains. So look for a food that does not contain corn, wheat, or soy. And I think you might stumble onto something that
there are commercial foods that are called hypoallergenic, and you can take a look at those.
Yeah, but it's when you can eliminate those grains, that seems to be most often the cause of food allergies in dogs.
We Malamute people have erect ears, so we don't have a lot of ear the way the droop-eared dogs have.
Yeah, yeast infections are tough to get rid of too, and they hurt. I mean, they're uncomfortable.
Not that we've never had like maybe ear mites or some infections, but not that often.
Let's take another call. A listener in Champaign on line 1. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to put my 2 cents in. I started obedience training. My dog was a champion years before. I started obedience training with her when she was between 8 and 9. And at 12, we got the CDX.
Oh.
So you can start almost any age as long as you want to work at it.
I had the oldest dog I ever had in class, and this was a good story. It was a 12-year-old dog, and it was a couple that were going to get married, and the husband-to-be brought the dog through class so he could bond with her, which is also a big...
James Bond.
Which is also a huge benefit of taking your dog through classes. It increases the bond between the two of you.
Unless it's a Malamute.
And I always really liked that story because he was such a nice guy. He was so earnest and sincere. And, of course, it was a golden retriever. So I just thought, this is just too perfect. And she just had a great time. But she was 12 years old.
My girl really loved going. She thought that was the greatest thing to do, to get in the car and go out to the building and train.
Oh, they do. They do love it. And I've had dogs in class that know when Monday night's there. Because I teach on Monday nights, and they want to go, and the people are... It was one couple I had about a year or so ago, and I think that one of them had some minor surgery, and they weren't going to go, but the dog knew it was Monday night. So they brought her because they didn't want to disappoint her.
Yeah, I've done that too. Even after she was too old to work, I bring her out because she wanted to.
Just wants
people.
To be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be with you.
Yeah, and well, everybody else. She didn't pay much attention to me when I brought her out the building. She was much more interested in who's here.
Yeah, dogs gossip more than we know.
Oh, they talk about.
They
everything.
Talk about us. They talk about everything.
Well, I just wanted to encourage the woman with the four-year-old dog to.
Oh yeah,
not,
four.
Not give up because the dog's too old.
Still a puppy at four.
Well, yeah. CDX at 12.
Sure.
Well, look at the one golden retriever in our club who just recently got her last UD leg.
How old was she?
I'm not sure, but she was no.
Is that Dodes?
Chicken. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dolly's 12, I think.
Yeah.
I think she was 12. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was my contribution for the day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the phrase, you can't teach old dogs new tricks, refers to humans, not to dogs.
They love to learn. They love to learn.
Let's take another call. A listener in Champaign. Line 2. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi. I have a St. Bernard.
Oh.
And, yes.
I'm sorry.
He has the best personality.
And you've got a closet full of towels, old towels, right?
Yes, I do. Actually, they're hanging in the bathroom right now.
Okay.
But he has never had any behavioral problems. I've raised him since he was a puppy, and he's gentle, and he's friendly, and he's great. But in the spring, I couldn't keep him temporarily because of the place I was living. And so he went to stay with some friends during the summer. And they had bloodhounds and French bulldogs, and I think he had a great time. And then now I'm able to take him. So I've had him now back for a month. And he has not been eating. And at first I was worried that he had some kind of a stomach problem, or I didn't know what it was. But he would basically, I'd put the food in the bowl, and he'd kind of lick his lips and sniff. And then I'd hold the bowl for him, and he'd come. And what he'll do is he'll stick his snout in there, and he'll blow the food out like he thinks it's awful. So it's gotten to the point, I notice if I put a little bit of wet food in there, or if I put, say, something else like hamburger in there, then he'll start to eat, and then he'll eat the whole bowl, and he'll finish it, but only if I'm holding the bowl and stroking his head at the same time.
Oh, boy.
So it's gotten worse and worse to the point, I think.
We eat at our house about 6 o'clock. Would you come over and help me out? I think your dog has found someone who will indulge the heck out of him.
Yes. Well, and I tried, but I'm not sure what to do because now that he gets fresh hamburger and he gets it held for him while he eats, I don't know what to do because he didn't eat this morning. And I thought, well, I'll just wait for you to get hungry.
Yeah, you know
but
what?
You know,
what you're doing is very nice. But is he an only dog now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, was he eating the same food when he went to the your friends as he is eating now?
Yeah, they were giving him Canaday, I guess that's pretty good dry food.
Mm-hmm.
But they would give him, what they told me was they'd give him a little dollop of wet in it just to kind of get the appetite going. And as a rule, I give him wet food sort of as a treat, but normally he just gets pretty good dry food. I tried switching it now to one that's all lamb and it's natural and it's supposed to be good. And he used to like it in the past, but he won't eat it unless it's got stuff in it. And I'm just trying to figure out what I need to do to
wean him out. You're going to have to just suck it up and stop this because he will eat when he's hungry. I know it sounds so mean, but...
Yeah, we are assuming that he has no physical problems, and it really doesn't sound... Does he keep... Well, saints don't keep their tails up, do they? But is he otherwise happy? I mean, he doesn't seem to be ill or anything.
I was thinking he's... You know, as he was with other dogs, that maybe he would like some... He misses their companionship.
No, well...
But it doesn't... You know, it's a food
thing. There's a man named Rogerson, John Rogerson from England, and he came here lecturing. He's a very well-known behaviorist, and he consults with people in England and tries to help them. And he said, like 100% of the time, if somebody says, oh, little Fluffy is a very picky eater, I have a hard time, 100% of the time the dog is obese, overweight. And he says, well, the dog's not having that hard a time.
Now, that said, though, with certain breeds, if they refuse mm-hmm. to eat, then you've got a significant problem. Yeah. But if he's right. eating because you're hand-feeding him and stroking his head, then
yeah,
he's sharing his problem with you.
And if he's getting hamburger, why wouldn't he hold out for that?
You know? I know. And he stole a very nice ricotta crepe off of our plate.
There you go. See?
A couple nights
yeah.
ago.
Yeah. I think the dog has very good taste, not only in owners, but in food. And
a ricotta crepe does sound good.
Yeah, I haven't had lunch. But, you know, and not to belittle it, but what I would try, and we have actually done this, we had a dog that was extremely ill. And had some sort of enteritis, parvo-like symptoms. And he was in the hospital for a week and almost died. And he came back and he was fine. But we had to give him a really bland diet, hamburger and rice. And boy, did he love that.
He loved that.
Oh, man. And then it came time. He was all healthy. It's time to go back to the old dry food. First day, he literally knocked the dish down the stairs, just took his nose and knocked it down. Robin cleaned it up, and he didn't eat that day. Next day, she puts the same meal out for him. He, once again, it was funny to watch. He just put his nose under the dish and knocked it down the stairs. He didn't eat that day. Third day, Robin put it down, and I swear, he looked at it, looked at her, looked at it, looked at her, and took one kibble out of that thing and chewed it like it was the worst thing he's ever eaten. It was like, ew, ew, ew. And then slowly he ate the rest. So it's okay. If he's not otherwise sick, he's found someone that if he doesn't eat, and the longer he holds out, the better the food he gets. You're essentially rewarding him for not eating. So
right. Well, I agree. I had called his vet, who's treated him since he was a puppy, and she asked if he was still going to the bathroom and, mm-hmm. and drinking water, and he is, all of that. So he doesn't see, and he's still playful and fun. So I
yeah, you might, did you take him off the Canidae and put him on something else?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you might switch him back, you know, half Canidae, half whatever you're feeding.
Yeah, don't switch too fast.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you're going to have to stop with the hamburger. When you're feeding them a really good, well-balanced dog food, adding a lot of extras to it is not a good idea.
Adding a lot of extra, what's
like
that?
If you're feeding him hamburger
right.
along with his meal, it's not really a good idea.
It adds calories and
adds
not much
calories,
else.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's a big enough dog; you don't want him to get overweight.
Yeah. Right now, he seems to be the perfect weight. So.
Yeah. And I hope he's okay. laying there listening.
Yeah, and it's kind of heartbreaking. You think, oh, the poor dog. In our case, oh, he was so sick, and you know, he's having trouble eating. No. You know, it was just a matter of, this is the food you're going to get. I don't care what they were feeding you at the hospital, and I know we were feeding you this, but this is what you're going to eat. And eventually, you know, he's not dumb. He's not going to starve himself to death, so he'll start eating.
Okay, so tough love.
Tough love, yes.
Okay, and Chewy says thank you.
Sorry, Chewy.
I don't think so. I think
Chewbacca.
He's going, what are you saying? Don't listen to them.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much.
Good luck. Let's take another call now. Listener in Urbana on line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk to you about we have a dog, and she's a golden retriever, and she's 6 years old. Now, my husband had her before we just recently got married. And she was pretty much kept by herself. I mean, not socialized very much with other people. And so she seems to have an anxiety problem. She just can't calm down. It's like at first she jumped on people when they came, and we've kind of got her out of that, doing that. But there's just a nervousness about her, and she can never seem to relax or calm down except at night when you go to bed or at night when you sit down. And I just wanted to know, we had another retriever, and she was nothing like that. Now, I know all dogs are different, but she's like, for example, when you do cleaning or housework or anything around the house, she's just right behind you the whole time. You know, you're constantly stepping over her. You can't get her to lay down. And she's fearful of just different objects like ball. You know, like if you buy a ball and bring it home and set it on the floor, she won't walk around. You know, she won't go past it. She's, like, afraid to go past things that are new. And I just wanted to know if she might have a mental problem or something. Hello?
I'm here. We're just listening to you.
She's the golden expert here.
Well, I wouldn't call myself that, but I... How long have you been married? Is she cutting out here?
Just not about 6 months.
And how long have you known the dog before you married?
You know, I had contact with her, okay? But, you know, I wasn't around her a whole lot, but I did have contact with her. And actually, me and my husband got remarried, so... she's had contact with our children, and now the children are over at the house a lot, our grown children and our grandchildren. But it's just, like I said, there seems to be, like, a fearfulness. It's like anything new in the yard, anything new in the house. Sometimes you won't even know what she's afraid of. You know, you'll just see her whimpering in the hallway, and you're like, what?
Now that's kind of an aberrant behavior to just be whimpering in the hallway by yourself. She went from a house where she was living with your husband, your ex-husband, now your husband, alone with him. And now she's in a household with children, grandchildren, you, and your husband.
Yes.
Okay, so, and this is in the last 6 months. So that's a pretty significant change in her life.
Right. Now, I mean, the children aren't there all the time.
It's no, but the fact that,
And, I mean, she's a sweet, sweet dog. It's just that she just won't or cannot seem to relax.
Well, something's bothering her, true.
This fearful behavior, that went on before we got back together, because my husband told me she was always like that, you know, like different things in the hallway or know, like a new rug down, she wouldn't go past it.
You see that behavior sometimes in dogs. You do see that. But when you said she was whimpering in the hallway, I would
just do that when she won't go somewhere. Then, you know, you'll go past and you'll go, it's okay, and, you know, who knows what it is? I mean, it can be something very small that you just don't realize is there.
Can you leave the house and leave her alone in the house?
Oh yeah, she stays in the house. She doesn't know she's a dog. She hasn't.
But she does. When you leave, she doesn't tear things up or.
No. She doesn't. No, she does not. I mean, she's perfect in the house as far as that goes. It's just it all centers around just calming down. You know, there's just not a calmness there about her. And you know, she just seems wired.
But when you go to bed at night, where does she sleep then?
She sleeps by our bed in the bedroom.
So she just lies down.
But if you get up to go to the bathroom, she gets up and follows.
Yeah, not entirely out of the ordinary for a lot of dogs to want that closeness.
That's true, but usually the dogs are older.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we have a dog that we raised, and we had him until he was about two, and then gave him to a friend of ours who had lost a dog. And we had him back for about a week couple weeks ago. And he wouldn't leave me alone. I mean, not leave me alone, but every time I went to a different room, he just followed me around.
He shadowed you.
Yeah. Now, he wasn't anxious and upset. He just wanted to be by me. And I recognize that a little bit here with her, where she's always – it's not that she's getting in your way. She just wants to be by you.
Yes, she does.
A lot of dogs that are that way, if you leave the house, you know, they have separation anxiety and they start tearing things up, but you don't have that.
No, we don't. No, she doesn't.
Yeah,
no,
it's a little bit unusual to have this.
So it is a shadowing. I mean, you just have to put her away or down in the basement or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it annoy you that she does this?
Huh?
Do you find it annoying that she does this?
Well, yeah, because if you're vacuuming, I mean, you're backing up, she's right behind you. Or if you're down on your hands and knees, she's right there. And
you want to come over to my house.
But I mean, she's sweet, but I just wondered, you know, I didn't know if there was just that.
Well, I would take her to, yeah, I would take her to a vet and make sure there's nothing wrong with her. And then I know this sounds kind of, and I don't mean to sound the way it's going to sound, but if you're annoyed with this behavior and she senses your annoyance, it increases her anxiety because she doesn't know why she's making you upset.
Or what to do.
Okay, yeah. So if you're scrubbing the floor and she's behind you and you put her in the basement, it doesn't solve her problem. It just increases her issues. She doesn't know why she's being put in the basement. And it's a hard thing to work with because you don't want to reinforce this fearful behavior by telling her, oh, it's okay that you're afraid of something that we don't know what it is, and walking by her and saying it's okay, because that tells her, you know, I got a right to be afraid here. So it's a real sensitive situation. If you can get her out and about more, does she go out? Do you take her for walks?
No. My husband used to try to take her when he was young, and his mistake was he had this long leash that we got, you know, one of those that releases and lets you go up 20 feet ahead. And she's huge. I mean, she's a big retriever, and she will just drag you. I mean, she's 90 pounds of tall golden retriever that will just drag you across the yard. And we gave him a gift of money to try to, so that he would take her to obedience class. So maybe going to obedience class and
Getting the dog out and exercised and
There are two things.
He has a huge backyard.
But you know, I've got Goldens too, and they go out and potty and they come and stare at you. That's it.
Let me back in.
So you think walking her would be good?
She needs something.
Well, the two things I was going to suggest. One is my solution to these is always get another dog. Of course, you know, I've got dozens of dogs, so.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a lot of dogs. And, you know, if you don't have to necessarily have the dog yourself, but if you have a neighbor that has a dog that she gets along with, you can put them both in your backyard. And and instead of her just going potty and laying down, she would probably play with this other dog if they get along. And she could get some exercise that way. And if she's 90 pounds,
it's too heavy.
She's probably putting on weight from lack of exercise.
No, she isn't heavy.
Okay.
So she got too thin, in fact. She's a very tall retriever. Mm-hmm. She really is. She's a tall retriever.
Well, the other thing I can think to do is for those times when you're trying to, you know, do your household chores, if you can get a crate and crate train her so that she goes in the crate and lies down, then she can be nearby and see everything going on, you know, not in the basement, but also out of your way.
Right.
So, you know, you could try that, some restraint. I think it's an excellent idea to get her out of the house and go to classes.
I wouldn't mind walking her. I wouldn't mind walking her because it would give me the exercise too.
Yeah, and, you know,
I can't be drugged.
No.
I've got a bad back. I'm not that young, and I can't be drugged across the yard.
Yeah, that's why the classes would be good.
I need to take some classes or something to learn, so she can learn how to walk on a leash.
And use a regular leash. Don't use that retractable leash.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a nice tool if you have a dog that will behave on it.
Yeah, but it just seemed to do the opposite with her. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed to let...
Well...
You know, she was little, he would walk her. I started out, but... And then he let her go way out. And then what happened was she got bigger. And then she started dragging him all over.
Yeah, and see, they really, really enjoy, just like we talked earlier about them enjoying going to classes, they enjoy going out and walking. And if she's not able to go out and walk and exercise and get stimulated, then you're going to have a situation pretty much like what you've got.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. I'll try to get her in some classes.
And even going for a walk with another dog, also on leash, just for the companionship. You know, she's going to get more exercise if she's with other dogs.
Or hire somebody in the neighborhood to come and walk her.
You know what? We live right across from a park. So there are people that walk past with dogs
sure.
all the time. I mean, it's
It's Dog Central.
There you go.
Around where we live, so
yeah,
she would get socialized if I just took her out and around.
It would be helpful.
I don't think social. Yeah. She doesn't sound like socialization is a problem.
She just needs some stimulation other than the household.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call this afternoon, and maybe she'll keep us posted.
I hope
on
so.
On progress. I love to hear.
Maybe we'll see her around the building in class.
Kind of like Stump the Chump.
Yeah, some situations are a little difficult to.
Carol, do you remember that dog that was following its owner around while she was doing household chores? Yes, we have her on the line. Did it work? No, it didn't.
Well, you know what happens in our house is we have this cat, and one of the names I call him is like Velvet Shadow. He's gray and he's very soft. And he follows us around too. He likes to be where we are or have an eye on us. But he hates it when we do housework. And I feel so bad. So sometimes we just say, the heck with the housework.
Yeah, why bother?
Sounds like a reasonable solution to me.
So, but last week we had some company over, so we did all this stirring things up, and he just looked at us like, what is going on? You're moving furniture.
You're so funny.
So,
Doc, it hurts every time I do this. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, but it's hard to tell what a person's situation is just listening over the phone, but yeah, I think that they can solve that one.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Sounds like a beautiful dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, any parting comments?
Because
we're out of time.
Well, I guess we'll see you in October.
If you call it the pound in America, do you call it the kilo in Europe?
It just makes me cringe when they call it shelter or the pound. And it's an old expression.
That's an old expression, yeah.
I forgot how it got started.
They're impounded at the pound.
I guess that's it. But I just, shelter to me says exactly what you wanted to convey.
Yeah.
It's a shelter for them. So.
It's the Royale.
Just a shot away.
Remember from Pulp Fiction? Was that the movie Pulp Fiction where
with John Travolta
says, you know what they call a quarter pounder in France? A Royale.
That movie scared me.
It was pretty scary, wasn't it?
I didn't like it.
I was in Montreal and it was the quarter pounder in French, avec fromage. Avec fromage.
Oh, doesn't that sound nice?
With cheese.
With cheese.
There, we have to leave it. We're out of time.
October.
This is the Afternoon Magazine, and Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel will be back with us in October. And they are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They're in the phone book, Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They're also on the web. So that does it for this month with our discussion about dogs. We'll see Carol and Jim in October. It's 1:53. Settlement prices should be in from Kansas City and from Chicago, the boards of trade. Here with those numbers, Todd Gleason.
Thanks very much, Celeste. Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a really busy afternoon. Futures finished the day sharply lower in the bean pit. In fact, the new lows for this move for the day, down at the previous lows of trade and a settlement price below the previous low. So we'll see what they have to say about that during Commodity Week. And closing market report this afternoon, we'll talk with Mike Zuzolo today, and the folks from Hightower will be on with us from Commodity Week. Beans for the week, I'll give you a number very quickly. In the November, we're off $1.47. They're off about 55 cents this afternoon. Let's go to the wheat pit, where futures lost 25 cents today. In the nearby contract, had a high price today for the nearby. It's 744.5, a low at 721.75, a settlement price at $7.29.75, 25.5 lower for the September wheat. December 776, the high, the low at 43.75, and a settlement price at $7.51.5. Down 25.5 cents. December futures, rather March futures, 26 cents lower, $8 the high, the low at 767.75, settlement price at 774.75. March futures in the wheat pit down 26 cents for the soft red. May futures 805 high, low at 784, settlement price at 788.5, down 27. And next year's July harvest month, 824.25 the high, the low at $7.96.5, and a settlement price for the July 2009 wheat futures 26.5 cents lower today at 1.01¾. From Kansas City, nearby September at 7.73 for the hard red, 27¼ cents the loss. Spring wheat, December, which is the harvest month, down 26 cents at $8.15¼. September corn futures today, 5.48½ the high, the low at 5.26¾. Settlement price at $5.31½, down 17¾. December futures, 5.62¾ the high, the low at 5.42½, a settlement price down 16 cents at 5.48½ lower, or rather 5.48½ and 16 cents lower for the day for the December contract. March futures, 5.82 the high, the low at 5.61. Settlement price at 5.67¼, down 16 in the May futures, 5.94 the high, the low at 5.73½. Settlement price at 5.79¼, down 16 cents. Next year's December contract, 5.98¾ the high, the low at 76¾. Settlement price at $5.85, down 15. For the week's move in the corn pit, December futures lost 36½ from Friday close to Friday close. Once again, that settled at $5.48½ today. September oat futures at 3.27, a penny lower. December futures at 3.41 were down 2. Soy complex now, bean futures 54 cents the loss, $12.15¾ the high, the low $11.73. Settlement price at $11.80, down 54 cents. November 12.32 the high, the low at $11.66¾, settled at $11.77, down 58. And January 12.40 the high, the low at $11.83. Settlement price at $11.93¾, down 58¼. March contract, a high price today at $12.49, a low at $11.98, and a settlement price at $12.06¾, down 57¾. November beans next year, $12.20, the high, the low at $11.60. Settlement price at $11.68¼, down 59¼. September bean meal futures, $3.53, the high, the low at $3.36.50. Settled at $3.41, down $14.40. And September bean oil finished $1.35 lower, $49.53 the top, the bottom at $47.61. And September bean oil settled at $48.18, down $1.35. I'll return in just a little less than 9 minutes with the closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And now let's take a look at the livestock contracts and how they fared today in Chicago. October live cattle, 103.10 the high, 102.42½ the low, the settlement 102.95, that down 35. December, 105.10 the high, 104.35 the low, 104.95 the settlement, that down 35. February, 105.85 the high, 105 even the low, 105.80 the settlement, that down 30. April, 106.20 the high, 105.25 the low, 106.12½ the settlement, that finishing off 20 cents. September feeder cattle, 111.20 the high, 110.45 the low, 111.12½ the settlement, that finishing up 35. October, 110.75 the high, 109.90 the low, 110.67½ the settlement, that up 30. November, 110.45 the high, 109.60 the low, 110.22½ the settlement, that up 25. January, 110.30 the high, 109.60 the low, the settlement 110.27½, that up 40. October lean hog, 70.15 the high, 68.95 the low, the settlement 69.42½, that up 40. December, 69.45 the high, 68.10 the low, the settlement 68.17½, that finishing 22½ cents lower. February, 76.55 the high, 75.80 the low, the settlement 76.12½, that down 10. April, 82.35 the high, 81.80 the low, 81.92½ the settlement, that finishing down 45 cents. And February pork bellies, 88.90 the high, 86.05 the low, 86.10 the settlement, that down 132½. The Dow has turned higher. It is up 43 points at 11,231. The NASDAQ up 3 at 2262. The S&P 500 is up 5 at 1241. And a barrel of crude in New York is going for $106, down.